I'm not going to spend a long time on a message this morning, but I am going to try to wrap up Romans 5. Last week we began with verses 1 to 5, and we asked the question, what's in it for me? What's in this gospel for me? And then, of course, we tried to answer that, and we found there's a peace with God. There's access to God. There's joy and hope and joy in the tribulations of life. And Pastor Cody even talked about that in that moment where, folks, that's just part of life. That's part of the church. And yet it builds character. It's what God wants to do in us. Well, this week we're going to look at Romans 5, 6 through 21. And I won't take time to read it all, but we're going to read portions of it. But it asks probably another question. Why is all this important? Paul, why are you writing all this? What importance does it have to my life? The scriptures we're going to look at will be a comparison and even a contrast between Jesus and Adam. Paul answers the question of why is this important with the scripture. So let's go to it. Romans chapter 5. Let me read three verses for you to begin with, in verses 8 through 10. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a memory verse that I'm giving you because it's so important. And I really believe as we complete this message today, you'll understand this passage in the midst of Romans 5 and why it's so important. We need to understand that we as sinners needed a Savior. Amen? You can agree with that. Would you read it with me real quick? Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9 goes on, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Verse 10, for if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. You are the one who wrote it. Your Holy Spirit brings revelation to it. I pray that our hearts would be open for the Spirit to reveal it today. Lord, that it might not just be heard, but acted upon. In Jesus' name, amen. In these three verses we just read, Paul tells us about the love of God and that how it has opened the door of salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for the ungodly. And now the ungodly are made brand new through him. Now, a logical question after such a statement comes out, how in the world can this be possible? Or how can one man, Jesus, atone for the sin of the entire world of every generation? Paul explains this wonder of God by using a comparison from Adam to Jesus. If we could understand the role of Adam in his life, we will be able to understand the role of Jesus Christ to find life. First, you need to understand what is known, though, as the doctrine of original sin. The doctrine does not refer just to the act of sin that Adam committed in the garden. It refers really to the effect or the consequence of sin that came through Adam's sin. In short, basically what we learn is that because of original sin, every one of us is born a sinner. That is original sin. Look at Romans 5, verses 12 through 14. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. Paul in this states several facts for us. First, sin entered the world through one man. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve were created perfect. There was no sin in them. They were perfect, but they had the ability to sin. that sin would come, though, through their disobedience that we read about in Genesis. They were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Unfortunately, they chose to follow their desires rather than the Lord's direction. And sin entered the world. A second thing we're told is that death entered the world because of sin. God told Adam that at the moment he ate from that tree, he would receive a sentence of physical and spiritual death. Third, we are told that death came to everyone because everyone sinned. Each of us, when faced with a choice in our life today, whether to obey God or to do our own thing, which is usually sin in our case, we tend to choose sin because we're sinners. The biblical view is that all sin. This means when Adam sinned, we were all guilty because of his sin. When Adam sinned, we all sinned with him. His action condemned the whole race. Paul says that Adam was chosen by God to be our representative. How many are thankful for Adam? Not really. He represented every one of us when he came, but he chose to sin. Therefore, his choice set the course for all of his descendants. Adam chose sin, and we all became sinners. But Jesus was the second Adam. He also served as a representative of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it tells us, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit." Paul is not only teaching us about sin in Romans and how it entered the world, but Paul is also teaching us about salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul contrasts what Adam did with what Jesus did. One man got us in trouble, but another man, Jesus, made it possible to be given new life, abundant life, eternal life. I want you to listen to this passage from The Message in verse 18 to 21. It says, "Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. One man said no to God and put many in the wrong. One man said yes to God and put many in the right. All that passing laws against sin did was produce more lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. All sin can do is threaten us with death, and that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end." Now, here are some of the contrasts in the scripture that we see. The first contrast is between the death that comes as a result of Adam's sin and the eternal life that comes as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. Notice the words that Paul chooses in verse 15. It says, "For if the many died by the trespasses of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" The gift of grace and mercy, you have to understand, is so much greater than the sin of Adam. Adam's sin led to death, but Christ's sinlessness led to a life that is overflowing. It's overflowing to you and to me. Adam's sin robbed us of life, but God's gift through Jesus fills us with life overflowing, leading to life eternal. In verse 16, there's another contrast. The New Living Translation catches it with this. "And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins." The word tells us that Adam's Adam's sin leads to leads us to condemnation. Christ leads us to acceptance. Adam's sin condemns you. Christ's righteousness releases you from condemnation. See, what happens is because of what God or what Adam did in the garden, we all feel like we're condemned. What can I do? I cannot improve. I cannot do anything. In the same way, what Jesus did for us to bring us life was enough to conquer, more than enough to conquer what Adam had done. In verse 17, the third contrast here is between the bondage to sin that Adam brought versus the new life and the victory, the triumph that Pastor Cody mentioned. The life of Christ makes possible for us to be triumphant in our living. Paul says that we have an abundant provision of faith. Listen to Romans 5:17 from the New Living Translation. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Listen, it goes on. Paul sums it all up in verses 18 and 19. Everyone was going to be punished because Adam sinned. But because of the good thing that Christ has done, God accepts us and gives us a gift of life. Adam disobeyed God and caused many others to be sinners, but Jesus obeyed him and will make many people acceptable to God. Let me try to wrap it up this morning. First, the scripture here that we read explains that the world of sin that we live in. How many know that we live in a world of sin? How many feel like it's getting worse? It is. It is a world of sin. The passage explains now to us, and we begin to understand in this world of sin why people lie, why people cheat, why people kill, why people victimize, persecute, oppress, and discriminate against each other. It explains why the problem of sin is universal. It is worldwide. It is not restricted to one group that sins. It is the world because of one man. Listen to these statements. We are not merely conditioned in our life to go and sin. We are not raised up and taught how to sin. We are sinners by nature. As much as you look at a young child and think how innocent they are, what is one of the first words that we have to teach them? No. There is no wisdom in there. There is no guidance within them. There is no real relationship at that point. They are learning. They are growing. And therefore, that sin nature wants to turn away even from the word no. So therefore, you can see why Adam and Eve struggled in the garden with the no. Don't do that. No. But that's where we work. Now listen, we are not sinners because we sin. This is important for you to understand. We sin because we are sinners. You see the difference? It's not because you act upon a sin that made you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. That is the nature within you. Perhaps it's best summed up in this great theological masterpiece. Here it is. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You see, we're like Humpty Dumpty. We must face the fact that we ourselves cannot save ourselves. Humpty fell. Adam fell. We fell. We cannot do it. There is no one on this earth that can help us except for one who is the King. It's not the King's men. It's no one else. It is Jesus, the Savior of our soul and Redeemer of from our sins. He is the only one that can restore us. We have got to go to the King and find Him. From this Romans 5, you begin to understand the virgin birth. It was important, and it is important to our understanding. We needed a Savior that was not from Adam's descent. Jesus did not come from the seed of Adam, but he was conceived from heaven by the Holy Spirit. And the scripture also helps us understand why it's so important that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. and yet he was without sin. He became our second Adam. We needed Jesus to take the road that Adam didn't take. We needed him to obey and to serve the Lord rather than end up walking in disobedience. And Jesus did it. He said, "It is finished." He has won it. He is our victory at the cross. A second conclusion that we learn from this passage, it will give us a deepened appreciation for our salvation. The better we understand our fallen condition, then we will have a greater appreciation for God's grace. If we can grasp how hopeless our condition is without Christ, then all the more we can rejoice in the tremendous gift that we have that is extended through grace and mercy from God through Jesus Christ. Finally, I really do hope that as we study the book of Romans, as we study these truths that we're learning, it will help us to make wise choices in the days ahead. Wise choices in how we live. Paul has much more to talk about on this subject as we continue through Romans in the weeks ahead. We will continue to learn that those who have been set free should no longer live as slaves. We'll learn that people that have been granted life and victory through Jesus Christ no longer need to live like people who are defeated. For God is not against us, He is for us. And everyone who puts their hope in Christ, the second Adam, will have real life. I know that sin is growing in our world, but that's why we've been given the message of grace, the gospel. In Romans 5, verse 20, Paul puts it this way, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I know that people want to stand up and say, "World peace." Let me tell you, the Word of God does not lead that way. I'm telling you, it's going to get so bad that they're going to call good evil. And they're going to look at evil and say, "That's good." Folks, where sin though abounds, grace much more. Folks, if you've got to capture that, you've got to get that image in your head. That's why we have the good news to share. We know that sin is great, but God has the power to break the consequence of that sin. That's why Paul tells the church in Corinth, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for what Christ has done, but it's because I understand my hopeless condition." The message goes on and it tells us this way, to stand firm. It says this, "It was sin that made death so frightening, and the law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ, thank God. Now with all of this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort." I titled this, "Sin and a Savior." See, we catch the sin real easy, but there is a Savior who came to set us free from the consequence of that sin. Yes, there is sin in the world, but yes, there is a Savior who has come to redeem us from that. Folks, if you'll ever really capture this passage, and let me nutshell it for you myself. See, if you would understand that we are sinners because of Adam and his sin, that it's really not the sin that you do that pushes you away from God, it's what he did. He made you a sinner. He made every one of us that. If you will grasp that, you will understand what the second Adam did. See, the second Adam came along, and he won the victory for us. See, because there's nothing I can do to earn heaven either. He did it for me. So what first Adam did and got me in trouble, second Adam comes along and gets me out of it. I can't earn it myself. I have to rely on Him. See, folks, this gospel message, though we love it, and everybody else will too when they understand it, the struggle that people have is they want to believe that they don't sin, or they don't sin as bad as somebody else. Folks, we're all sinners because of Adam. It was Adam who messed it up. Go home, you can fuss at God all day about it. But that's what happened. Or you can not fuss and you can give thanks because of what Christ, the second Adam, did for us. Folks, I know I have skimmed over this chapter, but you know what I think is wonderful? Most of you, if not all of you, own a Bible. And if you don't, we will get you a Bible. You can go home and you can begin to pore over the Scripture. It is the Holy Spirit that's going to bring revelation to it. It's not me. It's not anyone else. As you read it, the Holy Spirit, you just ask, Holy Spirit, help me understand it. You go back and you begin to read over chapter 5. See what the Holy Spirit begins to say. And I know sometimes it's a little bit confusing. I read this chapter in several translations. And I'm like, what are you saying? But folks, I wanted to just give it to you this morning, simple as I could. You know what? You're messed up, but because of Adam. Not because of what you're doing now. You may be messing yourself up continually because of what you're doing, but already you were separated and you were heading toward death eternal from God. And you are if you have not received Him. But there was a second Adam that came along. You need to understand there's nothing you can do to earn heaven. He did it all for you. And He comes along and He erases what the first Adam did if you will receive it. That is your choice today. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in this place today, Lord, I want to thank You first for what You have done for the church. Lord, what You have done for the world. And Lord, today I ask You, Lord, to speak to each heart. And Lord, begin to work in their hearts. And Lord, let them come to the conclusion that there is nothing they can do, but Christ did it all. So Lord, I pray that there be those in this place right now in their own hearts, they can begin to accept You as Savior. Lord, not their works, not what they've done. Lord, not really looking at everything we've done wrong, but looking at what You've done right for us and accepting it and believing in it. Lord, I pray You would help them. In Jesus' name, give us life, I pray, for Your glory. Amen.